Selectors Records, Community Thrift and Vintage, Vinyl Records, Sakura's, Classical Records, and Beat Street Records.
What would we do without our friends?
Ionized Yeast presents Light.
Part of our social lives. But tonight we bring you a story of a most unpleasant and unexpected guest who came to visit Lord Marley. But first, for Iron Eyes Yeast, Frank Martin.
Help wanted. To get back that old-time pep and strength and needed weight. Friends, is that you wanting help? Well, if vitamin B1 and iron shortage is why you're so run down, weak, and jittery, get two-way help. Get Iron Eyes Yeast Tablets. They give you both vitamin B1 and iron. They're scientifically designed for these exact deficiencies. No wonder great numbers of men and women who used to suffer from these shortages tell how splendidly ionized yeast tablets have helped them. Often they say it's like a new lease on life. That's right. The name is Ionized Yeast Tablets. And now?
Life.
Waiting. Who does the man think we are? I'm out.
And he's like I said to you before we got in here. Try to do a man like his lordship a favor and you'll get it in the neck. It's what I said and you remember.
Well, I'll give him 5 more minutes to do us the honor and then it's off I am. I want to look at my net before the tide changes, that I do. Oh, well, all I'm off is to warn him. Then me duty's done.
It's wasting time. He won't believe you. You mark my word.
Won't believe me and me almost losing my boat to the thing?
His lordship will say it was the town.
Now, you listen to me, Joey. I've been fishing in these waters here for more years than you got brains in your head. And I'm telling you it was a...
It's his lordship.
Boy, looks to be in a blinking temper now, don't he?
Well, what is it?
Oh, wait. If it pleases your lordship, my name is Sam Marlin.
I know who you are. You're the fellow I caught poaching rabbits last night.
Now, wait a minute. You didn't catch me poaching nothing. It's an honest fisherman I am, I'll have you know.
Oh, honest, are you? Well, let me tell you, I never forget a face. And if yours isn't the face of the rogue...
The rogue, is it? You hear that, Joey? He calls me the rogue.
Yeah, fine one he is to be talking.
Why, you impudent scoundrel. Out of my house. Out of my house.
But, your lordship, we want to tell you.
You tell me nothing, you saving robber.
Oh, it's fever now, is it? For 2 pence, lordship or no lordship, I'd bash that nose of yours so flat it looked like a farmer.
Get out of here. Get out, I say.
What is the matter?
These scoundrels.
They're not scoundrels, you old coot, you old.
Yeah, we was only trying to warn him that he...
Not another word. Out. All right, say.
Come on, Sam. Let's get out of
here. Get out.
Get out.
Get out, I say. And if you dare trespass on my property again, I'll have the law on your teething neck. The both of you.
There's no need to start, Charles.
Boy.
They're gone.
The infernal rascals.
But I don't understand. They spoke of coming here to warn you.
Warn me? Nonsense. Some infernal scheme that I didn't even give them a chance to reveal. Loafers. Spoiled by the government dole.
But I know those men. They're from the village. Good, honest fishermen.
Honest, No good. Not one of them. And if they keep off their infernal impudence, this community is going to lose my trade. You can depend on that. We'll never spend another season here. Not if I have anything to say about it. Confounded rascals, warning me.
All right. We'll drop the entire matter right now. What I can't understand is where that guest is going. You said he'd be here by 10 o'clock. Look, it's almost noon.
Yes, my guess. True.
What is it,
Charles? Didn't I tell you?
Tell me what, dear?
My guest, it's not a man.
No?
Madeline Kay. You've heard of her?
Madeline Kay? No, I'm afraid not. Who is she?
It's a matter of business. I couldn't arrange to be in the office, you know, because of our little outing, so I asked Miss Kay to come here. Pay frightfully large fees, these Americans, you know.
American? Won't you please tell me who she is, Charles?
Why, surely you know her, the cinema star.
Oh. The big blonde wench we saw in that Bang Bang Gangster picture.
Oh, now, don't talk like that. I forbid it.
Well, the picture was definitely a Bang Bang Gangster picture, my dear Charles. Well, I remember distinctly. At least seven of the gangmen, as the Americans say, bit the dust.
You have the most outrageous sense of humor. I'm speaking of the woman, my client.
Oh, you mean she isn't a blonde wench?
Oh, really, my dear, your choice of words is sometimes most inappropriate. The woman is definitely an artist, and my client.
Oh, yes, of course. But was it necessary to have her come here?
Why not?
Well, this is our home.
But I told you it's most important that she consult me, her financial affairs, you know.
No, I don't know.
But I'm trying to tell you. Oh, great Scott, Jane. You're not going to be difficult just because I invited the client out here. Confounded silly suspicions.
Now, just a moment, Charles. I have no suspicions.
Well, your attitude.
And I have no attitude. You've invited this woman here on business, and I assure you I'll do everything in my power to make her stay as pleasant as possible. Will she be here for dinner?
To tell you the truth, I...
Weekend?
Fortnight. You know how those Americans are, pushing...
Fortnight. Very well, Charles. I don't tell Jenkins.
Charles, here I am.
Apparently, your guest has already arrived, Charles. Mm-hmm. You better go out and welcome her.
Yes, of course. You coming along?
Of course.
Careful of that luggage,
Hewitt.
If you scratch it, I'll have you
repaired. You do say so, Fortnite, Charles. There's enough luggage piled up in the tunnel of that roadster for a permanent invasion.
Yes,
Charles, how nice. You've come out to your doorstep to welcome me just like a feudal knight or something.
Well, by George, Madeline, it's good to see you.
Madeline?
You said something?
No.
Yes, Madeline, this is Lady King.
How do you do? Charles, tell me, what do you think of my new car? It's nice, isn't it? You see, I did take your advice.
You must be tired after your trip, Miss Kay. The roads aren't any too good.
Tired? I'm never tired, am I, Charles? You ought to know. Tried to walk my feet off around the deck, but I wore you down, didn't I?
Oh, you met on shipboard during Charles' trip to America?
Madeline, you must be tired. Rest before tea, perhaps?
Yes, with all that beautiful ocean right there at the end of the lawn, I should say not.
Swim?
Just what I need. Charles, why don't you get out one of your little boats and take me out there in the middle of that blue water so I can take a dip?
Well, that is to say,
of course you'll do as Miss Kay asks, Charles. Get out the skiff while I show her to her room. I'm sure she'll want to change before bathing.
Oh, yes. I always use a bathing suit while the sun's shining. Run along, Charles, and get the boat out. You and I have all sorts of talking to do, haven't we, darling?
Yes, of course, of course.
This way, Miss Kay. Jenkins has already taken your things up. You just follow me.
Sure, why not? Last place I saw stairs like these was on a set in Hollywood. I've always wanted a place like this.
It's very pleasant here during the summer months. Breeze coming from over the bay all the time. It's really quite nice.
Plenty nice.
Right in here, Miss Kay.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
This is the afternoon off for the maid. I'm sorry there's none here to help you. But by the time you get back from your swim, I'm sure one of them will be back.
Oh, it's all right. I've got a bathing suit right in this case here. I think I can get in myself if I hold my breath.
I did want to talk to you.
Talk? Go right ahead.
No. You want to dress?
Oh, stick around. We're all girls together. What's on your mind?
You are very pretty.
You're not as old as I thought you'd be.
You met my husband for the first time on the boat coming back to England.
Blasted blankety catches of all the rotten luggage. Does it? Only that doggone suit.
You did meet Charles for the first time on the boat, didn't you?
Yes, of course. Oh, am I putting it on in the wrong places?
Will no business keep you in England very long?
Long? I should hope.
Why have you come here, Miss Kay?
Charles invited me, didn't you know?
Why have you come here?
What you mean is, madam, are your intentions strictly honorable? I played a part like that once in stock, and was I lost? Terrible.
Why don't you answer me directly?
Okay, why not? What have I got to lose? Even if you pass along what I say to Charles, he won't believe you. He's a gentleman. Or, is he?
Tell me.
What is there to tell, you guessed it. Like a man, Charles thought you wouldn't, but I knew you would.
It's been going on ever since you met him.
You catch on fast, don't you?
You are cold.
Sister, when you've been around the way I have, you get to know all the answers. And you make up a couple of new ones, too.
But Charles, over 20 years older than you.
And with $20 million more dollars than me.
But you're wealthy.
Ah, press agent stuff. I'm on the skids as far as Hollywood's concerned.
I beg your pardon.
Skids, you know, a one-way street leading down.
Oh.
Yeah. I wouldn't talk like this to my own sister, but as long as you and me got our hair down, what's the difference? The truth is, I'm just about washed up in pictures. Not that I can't act circles around many of those little they got out there, but it's just that, well, I was way up there, now I'm on my way down. That's that.
So you met Charles on shipboard and fell in love with him.
Love?
You love?
Well, I'm sure not trying. But I am going to marry him.
You what?
I said I'm going to marry him.
My husband?
He won't be long.
You either have a poor idea of humor or you're absolutely insane.
No, I suppose you'll pull the line about my husband loves me. He'll never leave me.
He won't leave me.
No.
I know Charles. There have been others.
But he never invited any of those others to his home now, did he? But he did invite me. And I'll stay here as long as I please. And in the end, I won't be the one to go.
Why do you say such horrible things?
Not so sure of yourself anymore, are you, Lady Jane? They never were as pretty as I am before, were they? And they never knew their way around the way I do now, did they?
You'll go. I won't permit you to stay.
Oh, really?
Charles wouldn't dare.
Oh, already. Come on in.
Well, what a charming, charming picture you make.
Yes, I think so, too.
Charles, could I speak to you alone?
No, not now, Jane. I want to take Madeline for a sail before the wind changes. Come, Madeline.
Right with you, dear. See you later, Jay.
Better take my arm, Madeline. These old steps, quite steep, you know. After all, I wouldn't want anything so happy, so calm.
Oh, Charles.
There he goes, Sam.
Oh, I see him.
We ought to warn him.
I tried. You saw what I got there. Booted me out of the place.
Yeah, he's got his lady with him in the boat.
His lady? Where's your eyes? That ain't a ladyship. A ladyship's a lady. She wouldn't be wearing a suit like that. Yellow and not enough of it to... Oh, let him sail out there. Why should I warn the likes of them? No, thank you. I'll not waste a breath warning him or her. Not a breath.
Madeline.
Now, Charles, steer the boat.
I'd give anything.
Anything?
Name it.
Not now.
What's the matter?
That wind, where did it come from?
By George. The sun has gone down, hasn't it?
No clouds, yet no sun. What kind of a place is this, anyway?
Yes, it is strange.
I thought I'd go swimming. Oh, come on, turn back. This is about as much fun as walking in a graveyard.
By Jove, I'm sorry.
Sorry?
We're becalmed, and I forgot the oars at the landing.
Oh, nice going. So what do we do now? Camp out here in the middle of the ocean until the Boy Scouts come after us?
You have a delightful sense of humor.
I'm getting a chill that isn't so delightful.
I'm decently sorry. Here. Put my coat around you. Lovely.
The wind hasn't cooled you off any, has it? What was that?
What?
You hear it like a fish. You don't have whales in these parts, do you?
Whales? By Jove.
There it is again.
Yes, I heard it.
The water is so smooth.
Oh, just a fish jumping, probably. Oh, this is cozy. The calm at a very opportune time, if I might say so.
Yeah, I can't very well walk home, can I?
Anything for you.
You'll have your chance.
Anything. Now, what is it?
I thought I saw that rope up there at the bow, or whatever you call it, move.
Rope?
Yes, worm sort of. Imagine that. I haven't had a drink in a week.
But there's no rope at the bow?
Oh, yes, there is, too.
Hmm?
Charles.
It's no rope.
Then what is it?
I can't quite make out.
It is a rope. It is a rope. I tell you, it is.
I'm not quite sure.
Another one. Charles, look, another one. Came out of the water.
Oh.
It's moving. Moving down along the deck. Charles, how can there be snakes out here?
Not snakes.
What's the matter with you? What are they? Look, there's two of them. Slimy.
There's another. Thick as a man's chest.
Another one.
Coming out of the water. Oh, no. It can't be. It can't.
What is it, Charles? What is it?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure none of us would mind a little time for breathtaking in this amazing story, Lord Marley's Guest. Yes, before returning to the play, let's consider the reality of a wartime problem that affects you.
No, I think we won't go to the servicemen's dance tonight. Who would want to dance with me anyway? Since I've lost so much weight, I don't look like anything. I'm sore and itch and tired out again tonight. Can't eat. I just know I'll lie awake till all hours, the same as last night. Honestly, I'm worried about myself.
Well, getting worried can't help. But if vitamin B1 and iron shortage is your trouble, very probably ironized yeast tablets can.
Vitamin B1 and iron? Ironized yeast tablets? What do you mean?
Just this. Nutrition authorities say improper eating due to wartime living may cause a person to become deficient in vitamin B1 and iron, two substances essential to normal weight, strength, and energy. And ionized yeast tablets supply those exact two substances, vitamin B1 with iron. They're scientifically compounded to help two ways in these deficiencies. Yes, help you two ways to look and feel and be your old-time peppy, sparkling self again.
Maybe I should try ionized yeast tablets.
By all means do, if you're short on vitamin B1 and iron. Then see us pretty soon. You aren't saying...
How grand it takes to feel good again. How glad I am that I took ionized yeast tablets.
And now back to tonight's play, Lord Marley's Guest.
Innocent?
Innocent? There's trouble out there.
But what, I imagine?
Well, I can't see. They're too far off. Too far off.
Oh, listen to her. Tell me, can't you?
What else the devil's in, can it be? The Lord forgive me. I should have warned him. Dirty pride or not, I should have warned him. I should have warned
him.
Sam, it's your ladyship running this way.
The Lord, Alpha. What can she do for him?
Fisherman, help me, please.
Lord, help him. And what can we do?
He's falling to us. Put a sand and then get into your boat. You've got to get out there and help him. Oh, help me, in Mrs.
Lynn. Help me. Hi, come ahead, Mom.
Sam, have you lost your head? You're not going out there.
Step in forward, Mom. What?
And you're balmy. It's the death house there.
Hand me that oar, Joe, and cover off.
Sam, you can't be going out there. You was the one that warned us off. And now you're going out yourself. Sure, I'll show you off. But I'm coming with you.
Good man, Joe.
Hurry, hurry.
That we will. Dig your oars in deep, Joe.
Stay back of me.
Horrible things reaching out. You've got to tell me what they are. What? Tell me.
Behind us. Look.
No, those snake things crawling toward me. I've got to keep my eyes on them. If I watch them, they can't hurt me. Yes, that's it. If I watch them, they can't hurt me.
Watch out.
Can they hurt
watch
me?
Out.
Can they? What? Answer me, you. Can they hurt me? What are you staring like that for?
Now I know. I know what it is.
Here?
8 arms coming out of the water. The body must be beneath.
What are you talking about? What body?
His body. There. He was taking the boat. He's holding on to those horrible arms.
Arms? What are you raving about? Snakes?
No.
Slimy water
snakes. No, not snakes. I'd give my soul if there were. They're arms. It's arms.
That thing.
It's arms. And it's waiting. It's waiting underneath the sea for it. It's waiting for it. Help. Help somebody.
Help.
Help.
Help. What is it?
Help.
What? Tell me.
Devilfish.
Oh.
And lots of it. Larger than the boat. Suckers on its tentacles.
Oh, my leg. One of those jolly things on my leg. Get it off. Get it off my leg.
I can't fight him. I can't fight him.
Oh,
get it off. Devil, you. Let go of her. Let go. Get off. Oh. Oh, my neck. No, 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 no.
Samuel, the boat is turned over. They're frightened. Something in the water.
No, you can't let him down. No,
it can't. It's a devilfish.
I see it too. Oh. Its arms are longer than the mouth of the boat itself. Oh. The tide's taking us right into it. Get up your oars, Joe. We'll get out of here.
Yeah, we'll. Let's go of our oars.
I won't let you go.
Playing with them like a cat with a mouse.
Oh, no.
Lifting them up in those great slimy arms and then dropping them back in the sea again.
No.
Oh, no.
No.
I held him under and drowned him.
Oh, no. Got him up again. See?
I but what? Oh, no.
What is it? What is that terrible thing that's lifting out of the water?
It's Ed, see? It's bringing the body toward its Ed. It's going to... No, don't look, Mom. No, he's dead anyways, Mom. Joe, let's get out of here. Come on, it's for him.
Wait, the woman. Let's let her go, the woman.
All
right. She's swimming for us. This way.
No, let's get out of here. Get the off, man.
No, wait. Too late for him. I can't leave her.
Right. We'll get to me.
He's too tired to swim anymore.
Feels okay.
Well, hurry.
Come on, Sam. Put your back to that oar.
All right.
You'll get to me. Bring her along, Sam. Grab her quick.
Aye, that I will. Got you now. Up you go.
Up the end. Watch it, Mom. In you go now.
You're safe now. You're safe.
Look. He's gone, eh? The monster, the devil, he's gone. Under the water. Quick, put the girl down there in the bow and let's get out of here before he pulls us down.
Right.
It's all right. You're safe enough. You're safe, I tell you.
Is holding the boat back now. No, it can't be. We're almost at the beach. And
look, look over the port side.
What?
The octopus. Rose.
It's underneath the water, holding us back.
Yes, oh. Horrible black thing.
Come on, into the sun with us.
The sea.
Further out.
I'll push it down. Beat it off of your oar, man.
Oh, stay back, you fool.
This is the oar right out of my hand. Look, another arm. And they're all moving up forward there.
He doesn't see it.
She thinks she's safe.
Around her neck, it's wrapping around. Dragged her over.
The boat's free.
Huh?
Free, I tell you, free. It's let go of us. We'll get away.
But why should that be? Dragged her over and let us go?
Aye. That's so. Picked her right out of the boat. And now the water's so calm and clear. And look, the sun's come out.
Huh? Ah. And his lordship and the blonde one dead, dead under the sea. What for you, Mom?
Dead. Under the sea. Death itself.
Well, Mr. Obler, all I've got to say is...
That brr is certainly an expressive one, Frank, but before we talk of brrs, I do want to thank June Dupre and Joseph Grandy and Mary Jane Cross. And now, speaking of brrs, I think it reminds all of us that there's a strange, icy hand of retribution which apparently eventually seems to catch up with evildoers. Right at the moment, a man by the name of, what was it again? Oh, yes, Mussolini is remembering that. And now, Frank, after you've had a few words, I want to come back and tell our audience about a play which we're going to do next week. May I go on record right now as saying that I'm looking forward to next week's Lights Out with with more eagerness than I have to any play of this series. I'll tell all of you about that as soon as Frank Martin says a few words for Iron Eye Geek.
If you're so jittery and run down, often so tired out that you miss out on your work and fun, and if it's simply because you're short on vitamin B1 and iron, remember Iron Eye Geek tablets give you these exact two substances. Now, of course, the rundown condition may be due to other causes. If in doubt, see your doctor. But if vitamin B1 and iron shortage is your trouble, remember, ionized yeast has been so successful in such cases that it's sold on this no-risk, money-back basis. If you don't start to eat better, to feel much stronger and more alive, the cost of the first bottle will be refunded to you in full by ionized yeast, Box IY, Rawway, New Jersey. And now, what's this about your eagerness over next week's play, Mr. Oblett?
Well, a man can write a play with his tongue in his cheek or with his heart or with his mind. I'll say quite frankly, I wrote next week's play with heart and mind because it's a play that I wanted to do and I know you'll want to hear. It's not the usual Lights Out play by any means. It's intended for even those in your family who may not be particularly interested in the mysterious and fantastic. So, have the entire family listening in, yes, children too, next week when we broadcast The Story of the Future. Your future.
Yes, tune in next Tuesday again for Arch Obler's Story of the Future. And if you need more vitamin B1 and iron, be sure to try ionized yeast. But remember, there's only one ionized yeast. You'll know it instantly by the yellow and orange package and by the big letters IY on the container and on each tablet.
Know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
On May the 5th, the East Vancouver Community Music School is hosting the first annual Spring Benefit Concert with special guests The Ruffle Feathers, Francois Huell, and the Fictionalist Comedy Company at the Unitarian Church of Vancouver. Wine, snacks, a silent auction, and art from 7 to 8 p.m., music and comedy from 8 to 10. Although the EVCMS does not yet have a permanent home of their own, their immediate goal is to raise money so they may continue to provide music lessons at subsidized rates, ensuring that students from low-income households can pursue a musical education. Tickets to the event are sold on brown paper tickets.
Lights out, everybody. Stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly, but sincerely, to turn off your radio now.
Prophecy is an easy thing. For rarely is the prophet brought to judgment. Tonight I bring you a false prophecy. A play set at this hour, yes, 1 minute after 10 Eastern Peace Time, but the years have moved onward to the number of 55. The place of our story is a great rocket speeding away from the moon. Yes, away. For the first trip to the moon has finally taken place, and a triumphant airship is now rapidly returning to the Mother Earth. Here, then, is a story about a tomorrow 55 years hence, September 20th in the year of our Lord, 2000, on board a rocket ship. A play that is, I sincerely hope, a very false prophecy.
The sky is sure the limit, our new century's begun. We're floating on our plastic boats, we're flying through the air. The world is all our playground, we haven't got a care. Oh, I'm glad to be alive, boys, I'm glad to be alive. I'm riding on a rocket train, and soon I will arrive. Hey, Doc, how about joining us?
Yes, Doctor. Don't you think it's about time we had a little celebration?
There's a great deal of work to be done.
Work's over, Doctor. 24 hours more and we're back.
Yes, Doctor. We'll be back. We've done it. Complete.
In 24 hours.
If you're worried about our landing, I'm not. You worried, Reynolds?
No, sir. Everything's in perfect order.
Sure, Doc. There's going to be a round trip. Anyway, there's 24 hours before we have to worry about that.
Yes, Doctor. It's a time for celebration. Oh, I'm glad to be alive, boys. I'm glad to be alive.
I'm riding on a rocket train, and soon I will arrive.
Reynolds. Oh, Major Reynolds. Are you men out of your minds? You, Major Russell. Reynolds is still a boy, but you're a mature man.
Please act maturely.
Oh, but doctor,
I'll grant you that our adventure has gone well.
Well is right. We've been to the moon.
My congratulations.
Thank you, Major. Thank you. I'll put the medal on my other chest.
Will you men listen to me? We're 48,000 miles from the Earth.
And headed right for it.
We're not there yet.
Doc, pardon the expression, but you're a gloomy Joe.
I am a realist.
But doctor, the possibilities of anything going wrong are remote. Surely we're entitled to relax a little and relish the fact of what we've done.
Yeah, we've done it, Doc. Even if we never get back, we've done it. We've been to the moon, and it'll always be there on the books.
I'm not interested in becoming an historical fact, Major Russell. The data we've collected, that's my only interest. May I ask you and Reynolds to get back to your post?
Oh, but everything's going like clockwork. Look at the gauges.
But we are out of radio contact with the Earth.
Yes, sir. But we are on course. Doc, what is wrong?
Wrong? What should be wrong?
No, the kid's right, Doc. Ever since we made the circle and started back all these days, you've been acting as if we didn't make it. We've gone 243,000 miles, and we're 3/4 of the way back, and we're in, Doc. We're in. So what's the matter with you?
How old were you, Major, when the Second World War ended?
Oh, about 5. What's that got to do?
And you, Reynolds, you weren't even born.
No, sir.
I was 21 on that day in New Mexico when they set off the first chain reaction. 21.
Doc, you mean to say you were in at the beginning of it?
Of course he was. Dr. Chamberlain was one of the original research men in the atomic bomb project back in 45. The only one of them alive today.
Well, what do you know? So that's why you wanted to make this trip, Doc. I mean, you...
Yes, Major. You wanted it as a substitution for what you missed as a boy. The excitement and glory of war.
Oh, now, Doc.
It's true, and Reynolds here is young and idealistic. And the scientific wonder of it was what he wanted. And I was there at the birth of an era. Now atomic power is driving me into space, back to the Earth where it all began. And I'm thinking...
Yeah, Doc?
It's not pertinent to any of this. We have no time to discuss our emotions. There's work to be done. Airspeed 23486.
Interior temperature 68.2.
Interior temperature 68.2.
Well, that's it.
Yes.
Any radio contact, Reynolds?
No, sir.
How about that, Doc?
Unfortunate, but not very vital. We're definitely on course.
How much longer will it be, Doc?
10 hours. At the most, 10 hours.
In the middle of LaGuardia Field. That's where I'd like to land.
I hope not.
Texas. Isn't that it?
Sure, sure. We'll hit the flats right on the nose.
If the auxiliary jets work.
They worked on the moon. They'll work on landing. We're the good luck boys, Doc. We can't miss.
You have the optimism of a 16-year-old. Reynolds, you'd better get back to your radio. Try phone contact.
Yes, sir.
Major, check the jet temperatures.
Right jet, 1580.
Right jet, 1580.
Left jet, 1583.
Left jet, 1583.
Speed, 24832.
Speed, 24832.
XR1 calling CQ. XR1 calling CQ. Hello, hello, hello. XR1 calling CQ. XR1 calling CQ. Hello, hello, hello.
Any luck?
No, sir.
Put your transmitter back on automatic.
Yes, sir.
Why do you laugh, Major?
I was just thinking about how many millions of telescopes are turned in our direction.
Yes?
What you said a few hours ago. I mean, about my wanting the excitement and adventure. That's true, you know. I'm 60 years old, and I guess I just lived for this chance. The Army hadn't okayed my going. Well, here I am. Once we land, I'll admit frankly, I'm going to cash in on every bit of it and have myself a time. You know something? I get the feeling kind of depressed when I think it'll soon be over. There's no reason for depression, is there?
I couldn't answer that.
Why not?
You've been wondering, undoubtedly, why ever since we left the moon, I've been acting strangely.
That's right.
I've never believed in predestination, and yet there's been sort of a motivation of fate in my life. At 21, I was part of that research team trying to adapt atomic power to military purposes. When that first bomb went off over the New Mexico desert, a newspaper man repeated the words, "What hath God wrought?" And no one quite knew. I've been waiting 55 years for the answer. I think I found it a few hours ago on the moon. And it's an answer full of horror. Oxygen valve, that's why you're yawning.
Oh, yes, sir. 2 points?
2 points.
Well, the Major's sure sleeping.
Yes. It's only a few more hours, isn't it? Yes.
Will we have to put on our compression suits the way we did on the takeoff?
Yes, of course.
Doctor, may I ask you something?
Yes?
Before, you spoke of finding an answer on the moon. And then you didn't say any more. Well, I've been thinking about it. I was wondering if it was something that the Major couldn't understand. And that's why you didn't speak of it further.
And now you want to know.
Yes, sir. I haven't lived anywhere as long as you two have, but my life has been built around atomic power. My dad, he was one of your men. Ever since I was a child, becoming a physicist like Dad was and you are and Dr. Oppenheimer and all the rest, why, that was it. Now, all of a sudden, the way you spoke before, as if all our research has been criminal. Do you mean that?
Collision radar.
Get at it.
What's the matter? What's the matter?
Object approaching.
Where?
15 degrees west. There it is.
Meteorite. It's a meteorite.
That was the closest.
It was indeed.
It'd be sardonic indeed to collide with a meteorite at this point in our journey.
I use a stronger word than sardonic, Doctor.
Yeah, like faking.
It's all clear.
Well, I better get back to...
No, Reynolds. Reynolds, you asked me a question before, and I want to answer it. You too, Major Russell. I want you to hear this.
Sure.
Reynolds overheard what I said to you. But I'd found the answer to a very old question on the moon. He said that he felt that somehow I thought all of the research on atomic power had been criminal. No, young man, I don't believe that. Not at all. Criminal to know more about a way of nature? No. The answer I found was something else. I haven't even an answer, perhaps only a theory. When we came within 100 miles of the moon and then began to de-accelerate, to turn back, what did we see through the observation ports?
Well, Doctor...
No, please, let me tell you what I saw. The craters of the moon. Great, gigantic craters, and as we came closer and closer, the look of them was so familiar. Not because I had seen them through telescopes and in photographs, but for some reason that I couldn't quite understand. Craters of the moon, and suddenly, at the very moment when we'd come as close as we dared and our ship swung in an orbit to return, suddenly I knew. It was a memory of another crater I had seen 55 years before in New Mexico from an observation plane high over the ground a few hours after the first atomic bomb had lit the sky with a new sun. Yes. The crater in the crust of the Earth that bomb had left was the same as the craters of the moon. Do you understand? The crater our bomb had left on the Earth was the same as the craters on the moon.
So what? I don't get it.
Yes, Doctor. What are you getting at? The crater in that desert was a thousandth of the size of the ones you're talking about.
I suddenly began to think. Was it not possible that the moon had gone through the same evolutionary processes as our Earth before our Earth? Yes. Wasn't it possible that men had come into being on the moon, developed their own civilization, had known scientific progress, even as we have, but long before we Earthmen had known it?
Say, Doc,
You do understand. These men of the moon had discovered the secret of atomic power long before we did, and then had used it to blast and to tear each other. Yes. And the craters on the moon, that terrible devastation, was the record of the destruction of their civilization. A final war, which had burned up the very atmosphere and left the moon a dead planet circling endlessly through an airless sky.
All right, Doctor. Presuming your theory is correct, that the moon men had started through a war, a chain atomic reaction that they couldn't stop, well, what of it? It indicates that they were fools.
Yeah, that's it. Fools.
Are we any wiser? You'd better cut it down.
Right, how much?
About 15%.
Right.
You get anything, Reynolds?
No, sir.
Would you come here a moment?
Yes, sir.
Will you help me with this port covering?
Yes, sir.
Here, there.
All right.
Hey,
try to take a look, huh?
Yes, that's it. There she is.
Mama Earth.
Reynolds, the cameras?
Yes, sir. How much should I run, Doctor?
Put it on automatic exposure.
Yes, sir.
6 more hours, eh, Doctor?
Or less.
Sure we haven't made a mistake and headed for Venus.
What are you...
That was just a bad joke, Doc. Well, there's no two ways about it. The outline of the continents, we can't make any mistake about that being our home address. I wonder how much they can see of us. What are we, 6,000-7,000 miles out? You know, this reminds me of the time about 25 years ago. The Army sent me up to 1,000 miles to take observation photographs. Well, you remember how the atomic reaction motors were then. We got up about 500 feet.
Nature.
What? What?
Look down. Look.
What? Well, I don't see anything.
Look, I tell you. Reynolds, come here.
What's the matter? Something wrong?
Well, the doctor says...
Reynolds, look. Do you see?
Yes. What is it?
I see it, too. Bright lights going on and off. What's going on down there?
Doctor, are they signaling us? Are they signaling?
It's 6,000 miles. Why? Why should they?
That's right. There's no such plan.
Look at it. It is lights going on and off.
But they're all from one area.
Can you make out where?
North America.
Then they are signals. The candle in the window.
Your own question. At 6,000 miles?
Wait a minute.
Are they explosions?
Explosions? Major Doctor, is that it? Are they explosions?
I don't know.
CQ, CQ, hello, 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 CQ, CQ. Oh, I'm sorry, Doctor, I can't raise anyone.
Doc, come here.
Yes, but...
Look, the closer we get, they are explosions.
3 more hours, we'll know.
I want to know now. Reynolds, what's the matter with you? Why can't you make radio contact?
I'm doing everything I can.
Major.
Doc, what is it?
Craters. Look, craters.
Craters? At this altitude, you couldn't possibly...
After each flash, I do see them.
Okay, what does it mean? Well, what are you looking at me like that for? What does it mean?
Dr. Major, something coming through.
Oh, what about time?
I can only hear it faintly.
What? What?
Please, let me listen. United States. What?
Reynolds, what is it?
Tell us.
Boy, I couldn't quite make up. They said...
Said what?
Tell us. 4. He said 4. Blasting the United States off the face of the earth blasting. It's a joke, isn't it? Isn't it?
Sending now. What now?
It began an hour ago. No warning. Projectiles, radio controlled. Point of origin unknown. Oh, it stopped again, the transmission.
That's enough. Where's the International Police Force? What's being done about it? Doctor! Doctor, did you hear it was an attack without warning? Who could it be? What's the idea?
The explosions are increasing in frequency.
Reynolds! Reynolds, anything more coming through?
No, nothing. Yes. Yes, they started transmission again.
All right, let's have it quick.
Some station in Midwest. I can't get the call letters.
Who cares?
He says, it's hell. Ground shaking. No bombs landed near it. Air reconnaissance. It's so garbled I can hardly make out.
Well, well?
It started an hour ago. Everything burning. Now it stopped again. There's nothing.
Doctor? Doctor, in heaven's name, what do you think it's all about? Stop staring out of the window and talk to me.
What are they doing?
What do you mean, what are they doing? They're bombing us, blasting us. It's war, but who? I've got to find out. Reynolds, find out who.
Why, it's no use. There's no transmission.
Doctor, those bombs, where are they coming from? Can't you tell by the trajectory?
At this distance? And what difference does the face of the enemy make? It's happening, that's all.
Smashed them. I always said we should have smashed them. Exterminated them 50 years ago.
Oh, they were so peaceful for so many years.
The flashes are increasing in frequency.
Reynolds, get on that radio.
No, I'll try again.
I've got to know who. The devils. We had agreements with everyone. The International... Devils, all of them. I call them devils. I don't even know who they are. Reynolds, you got anything?
No. No, I don't.
Doctor, faster. Let's get down there faster. Let's open it up.
You know better than that. We're entering atmosphere. Increased speed and we'd burn up like a meteorite.
But I'm an army man. All my life I've been
trained.
Coming
through.
What? What?
The bombs? Nothing can... I can hardly make it out.
Keep at it.
Panic. Paratroopers.
Who? Who?
Last message from United States of... It's ended. There is no more.
Get down there faster.
Only 500 more miles.
Look at it down there. Our Air Force, protective measures. What happened to them?
What happened?
Doctor! You, why don't you say something? We'll just sit there for hours watching. This isn't a scientific experiment going on down there. They're blasting us to pieces. Us, us! Your atomic bomb, a great secret. Hold it over the world and have peace forever. You said that. Yes, you. I was a kid then. I heard you say it over the radio when they gave you a medal. Hold it over the world and have peace forever. Well, what do you got to say now?
We had a wonderful 55 years.
What?
Everybody had a wonderful time.
Reynolds, what's the matter with him? He's gone.
No. Let him finish.
First, we hung the criminals 55 years ago. And as soon as their bodies stopped swinging, we left the crowd and each went back to his own house and shut the door.
You said the peace would hold forever.
I said it because I thought that when the secret was put away, the people of the world would remember the terror. I said to myself, now. Surely now that they've seen the possibility of the disintegration of their Earth, they'll be drawn together once again into the family of men as it must have been in the beginning. I forgot what years could do. I forgot how quickly forgetfulness comes. I forgot that in only a few years, Hiroshima and Nagasaki would be only yesterday's sensations for a nation eager for sensations for today. You keep asking me who's sending those bombs against us, who? I tell you, we're sending them against ourselves. Yes, because had we made our way of life something more than a confused dream of shiny machines and happy endings, those bombs of hatred and revenge would not be flying at us. I said the peace would hold forever because I thought that out of that war, at last, men had learned that there was no defense against hatred and revenge, but the defense of education for the unity of people. It was a race, gentlemen, against time. And we wasted our last 55 years running backwards on a track of chromium and plastics. And so we've lost forever.
No. We've never lost.
Look, the blasts are increasing in frequency. There's nothing left. Nothing.
We'll start someplace else. We'll build...
Doctor, look. The color of the blast. Oh, dear God.
What? What?
Doctor, it's nitrogen, isn't it?
Nitrogen? What?
The fools. The everlasting fools. I warned them.
The blast. More and more.
They started something they couldn't end. The color of the blast. They've set off hydrogen atoms.
I don't know what...
We used uranium, plutonium, and when the initial blast was over, that was all. But hydrogen, that's part of life. One reaction sets off the other like setting off an endless chain until... Look down there.
Blast. Faster and faster.
They're spreading.
The fools. God help the fools. God help the fools.
What?
It happened.
The sheet of flame. Around the earth. Doctor, tell me, what is it? What was it? Tell me.
It burned up all the atmosphere.
Burned up? Reynolds, what does he mean?
The chain reaction burned up all the air.
Move on.
Major, Major, the left jet.
Right. Where are we going? Can we go down there?
There is no air, no life. The moon, the earth, the same.
How much fuel?
There's the gauge.
2-3 hours?
Yes. Yes, I think that's right. Isn't it, Major?
Do.
You ask that question now? The Major no longer asks it. Do you know the answer, Major?
Sure. We'll circle around. Then we'll crash.
No. No, it'll be all right, my boy. My words again. Have peace. Forever.
CITR Friday afternoons from 2 till 3:30 for Radio Zero, where your host DJ brings you an eclectic mix of new international pop, ranging from the most fashionably disaffected to the brightest sugar-coated music around, along with a good measure of vintage new wave, punk, and disco to kick off your weekend. That's Radio Zero, Friday afternoons at 2 on 101.9 FM, CITR.
And you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Brian McDonald, and that's all the time that we have for Scald's Hall. Coming up in a moment, we'll have Canada Post Rock with John. And from all of us here in Vancouver, please...